السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Sahaba Profiles. We continue the discussion on the life of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Previously, we explained his name was Umaymir bin Malik al-Khazraji. He did not accept Islam initially. He had a great friend, who was a great Sahabi, Abdullah bin Rawaha, who explained to him repeatedly, but he refused to accept Islam. And then after the Battle of Badr, one day, his friend Abdullah bin Rawaha snuck into his home when he wasn't there, broke all the idols in his worship room. And when he came, after his rage had settled, he realized that if these idols could not defend themselves, how will they then defend me, and how can I worship that which cannot even defend itself? After he accepted Islam, he showed a great degree of regret over the fact that he had accepted Islam late, and he tried his level best to make up for lost time. And we explain how he became so disinclined from dunya and so inclined towards excessive ibadah that he gave up doing trade as well, and he focused just on worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to send him as a governor to the Sham region. He refused to be a governor, but he accepted that he would become a preacher. He would become a scholar, and he would teach people the Quran, and he would encourage them to do good and forbid them from evil. When he came to Sham, he was very disappointed. He saw that now, because of the newfound wealth, as a result of expansion and as a result of the newfound prosperity, people would become too comfortable in life, and they were becoming too negligent. And he gave a very heart-moving speech when he just came to Sham that reduced many people to tears. And then I also explained, and we concluded the last discussion, about how he saw people beating and swearing a person who had committed a sin. He said, no, if a person falls in the well, you help him out. Help your brother out of the sin. What's the purpose of beating him and swearing him? You don't hate the person, you must hate the sin. Continuing the discussion, one day, a young boy came to Abu Darda radiallahu an, who used to offer advice at the Banu Umayyah Masjid in Damascus, and said, أوصني يا صاحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that, oh, the man who has seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me some advice. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu told him a few things, and each sentence is so profound. He said, remember Allah fi sarra yathkurka fi darra. Remember Allah in good times, Allah will remember you when you have difficulties and challenges in your life, meaning Allah will come to your assistance. Then he said, ya bunayya, oh my son, kun aliman aw mutaalliman aw mustami'an wa la takun ar-rabi' fatahlak, that either be a scholar or otherwise a student, or otherwise a person who loves the scholar and student and takes benefit from them, but do not become a fourth. Do not become a fourth, meaning do not become an ignorant person. You are going to lead yourself to destruction. Then he said something very, very important. Ya bunayya, oh my beloved son, liyakunil masjidu baytak, let the masjid become your house. Let the masjid become your house. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولَ الْمَسَاجِدُ بَيْتُ كُلِّ تَقِيٍّ, that the masajid are the homes of those who have taqwa in their hearts. Try and spend as much time as you possibly can in the masjid. And even when you have to be out of the masjid, let your heart be in the masjid. Why? وَقَدْ ضَمِنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ لِمَنْ كَانَتِ الْمَسَاجِدُ بُيُوتَهُمْ الرَّوْحَ وَالرَّحْمَةَ وَالْجَوَازَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ إِلَى رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has told us, those people who have an established relationship with the masjid, Allah makes life easy for them, Allah blesses them, even the crossing of the pul sirat towards the pleasure of Allah will become easy for them. Whilst Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was staying in Damascus, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, who was the governor and later on became the Amirul Mu'mineen, he sent a proposal for Abu Darda's daughter for the marriage of his son Yazid. He wanted his son Yazid to get married to Abu Darda's daughter. Abu Darda refused. And people were totally, totally taken aback. That here you have Muawiyah, he's a Sahabi firstly, but secondly, he's a leader. He's the leader, the governor of Syria and Sham. And here Abu Darda is turning down the proposal. So when Abu Darda found out that people were talking, he came to them and explained himself. He said that I don't want my daughter to get married, and then she goes into the home of a leader where she will have servants, where she will have luxuries. I don't want that kind of a life for my daughter. I would prefer that my daughter marry a commoner so that she could live a simple life rather than marrying Yazid, and then she would have to live the life of the leader. It is also mentioned that one day Umar radiallahu anhu came to visit. He was the Amirul Mu'mineen, and he was in the Sham area. He came to Abu Darda's house. He found the door open. When he went in, it was totally dark. There weren't even candles. Abu Darda realized that Umar was in the house. He set him down. They were talking. There was nothing. No provisions in the house. No, not even lighting. And after a while, Umar radiallahu anhu could not contain himself. And he said that, Abu Darda, why don't you allow me to send some money to you? to send some provisions to you. And Abu Darda radiallahu responded and said, Umar, have you forgotten? Umar, have you forgotten that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we should live in this world as travelers, as those who are just here for a day or two. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, he broke out crying. He broke down weeping. When he started crying, Abu Darda started crying. And both of them remained crying. Both of them remained crying until it was time for the Fajr Salam. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, once again, simple lifestyle, but had a profound impact on people. His mission in life was to educate people, encourage people, advise people. When he was finally on his deathbed, people came to him and said, Ma tashtaki, what is your complaint? He said, Dhunubi, I'm worried about my sins. They said, Ma tashtahi, what are you wishing for? What do you want? He says, Afwa Rabbi, I want the forgiveness of my Allah. I want my Allah to forgive me. And then he gave an instruction to the people around him, and he said, Laqinuni la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That encourage me, you know, to make the talqeen like you do for a person who's about to pass on. That say la ilaha illallah excessively so that I can pass on with those words on my lips and I can meet my Allah, having proclaimed my belief in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and having proclaimed my shahada. We can see that these great personalities were so well trained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that even though everyone else was enjoying the trappings of this world and everyone else was enjoying material benefits, they remained very simple, very focused, very dedicated. They knew that the true life is the life of the year after. They knew what they had to work towards and what would really matter at the end of the day, and what was the actual way of pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And they remained true to that up to the end of their days, up to their last breath. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Sahaba profiles from myself, Sulaiman Ravid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.